Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday to all of you. Great to be with you on this Friday. It's going to be a fun show today. With the NFL draft in round one last night, Eagles did really, really well, and the Steelers did not.
Did you watch a different draft?
The Eagles did really, really well. They got a fabulous receiver, and the Steelers got a guy that in a normal draft, Kevin, would have been a late second, third round pick. In a normal draft with depth, they ended up getting a guy that would have been a late second, probably a third. He takes plays off. He is not a sack machine. He is not an edge rusher. Because of the mediocre job, in my opinion, that the Steelers did in free agency, they pigeonholed themselves in the draft, and now they've got a big problem. They've got a huge problem.
I'm not disagreeing with any of that part of it about the huge problem.
As for him as a player, that's a C-plus pick.
But he's the leading sack lead. He's the sack leader in the SEC.
So was Michael Sam. Thank you. We're done.
Okay. I mean, he could be a little stronger.
Okay. He could be a little everything, okay? Michael Sam led the SEC in sacks. You do know that, right?
Yes.
Okay, and where is he now?
That's college a great question. Stats, we have to send a search party.
I'm saying, but college stats mean nothing to me. Okay, that's why, like, let's take, for example, who should be the first overall pick in the draft based on college stats?
No, it definitely shouldn't be one of the first two guys picked. I'll put it that way.
It should be Bryce Petty. Bryce Petty's college stats are better than anybody's college stats. This is about being, a lot of people like this pick. I didn't like the pick. I think that they did not go with the kid from Missouri because of what happened Monday.
I totally agree with that.
And I think they didn't go with Jones because guess what? They didn't go to UConn's pro day. They all went to Florida State's.
And I don't disagree with you why they didn't go with Jones there. I think Jones has a little bit of...
They don't know anything about him. They didn't go to his pro day.
But when you look at what's on the board and what they needed...
The Steelers skipped it. A team that needs a corner skipped a corner's pro day. Really? Really? Okay, now who's going to play corner for you?
Well, I just don't know if there's any corners left in the draft. And I think they had the best pick, the best player of what was there for them to pick. Now, I agree with you. In a draft, in a better draft, and this was not a great draft, that's the one thing I took out of last night's coverage. And you could tell by the fact that no one was moving up anywhere until mid to late round. You could tell that this was a very average draft, and after you got down past picks 1 and 2, everything was a fall as it did. And I thought they got the best guy for the needs that they have.
Kevin, he won't start for them. He will be a 250 to 300 play guy for them next year. See, you think they drafted a starter. I don't think they drafted a starter.
I very rarely disagree with you, but man, you're in the minority on this one, though. Seriously, a lot of the draft experts love this pick.
I don't see. I think he has a really good first step. I think he has a really good burst. I think he does a great job of tracking down guys from behind. I think that. In terms of rushing the quarterback, he's no better than okay, and he takes plays off.
I have heard the he takes plays off comment before. Matter of fact, you sent that to me last night, and I actually heard that prior to that.
I mean, that's who they drafted. Now, exactly tell me how they're going to address their needs in this draft now.
I don't know if they could have addressed it even if they went corner that way.
At least you would have picked up a guy. If they picked the Robinson kid, I'd be singing the praises of what a great job they did. Right slot, right guy, right moment. Waynes was falling a bit, and I thought, hey, Waynes is falling. This is good for the Steelers. Peters, I would not have picked.
I sent you a text right about the time Peters came out, and I said, okay, this is not looking good, because at that point, Johnson was gone from Wake Forest. Peters right. was gone from Washington, and don't pick the kid from Connecticut. I just don't think he's the right guy.
Well, I think the Cowboys were helped in making that pick because of Paul Pasqualoni. Uh-oh, it's another one of those I have to connect the dots things.
A little bit, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not quite that deep into it now. Help me out here.
Okay. Paul Pasqualoni had been the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys. Left and took the UConn head coaching job. Now, okay. Paul only lasted on the job 2-3 years at UConn, but he recruited Jones. And he's the one, okay? So he knows something about him. The Cowboys could talk to him. But the Steelers didn't even go to his pro day, you know. They didn't go to UConn's pro day.
The only thing that I heard about this kid, isn't this the one that had the record vertical?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is a great athlete. And he also had been a safety to start out at UConn, then converted to corner. Now, there's a kid at Utah, Roe, that if the Steelers were to draft him, he's a combo guy that can play safety, corner, really good player. He would be a guy that if they were to draft him would be a huge pick for them. And now if you can couple that with a couple of other things and Dupree, I think Dupree's a good player. This is not a pro. But now I want to also point out, I was extremely high before the draft 2 years ago on Jarvis Jones. And when they drafted him, I was extremely high on Jarvis Jones being drafted by the Steelers. I was extremely high a year ago on Ryan Shazier. You know, I watched enough of him in person. So I was really high on those two picks right there in the ones. Very high on each one. This one I'm not. There's something on him that's missing.
I don't know. It was hard not to like the pick in the instant it comes up when you realize this guy leads the SEC in sacks.
That means nothing. That means
he's getting to the quarterback. Nothing. That's what you want, isn't it?
No, Kevin, it means nothing. I don't care what his stats are in college.
Okay,
I don't care. Okay, what were Tom Brady's stats at Michigan last year? Trophy winner in 2008.
I don't remember yesterday.
But who's the Heisman Trophy winner in 2008?
I don't remember who it was in 8.
Tim Tebow.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I know who it is now, but I didn't know the year was 2008 off the top of my head.
But I'm saying, that stuff doesn't matter. It just doesn't. You got to watch him on tape, take a look at him on tape, and get a feel. What kind of burst do they have? How do they hand fight? How do they get? It's a whole different thing. Your college stats mean zilch. I mean, they mean nothing.
See, the reason I did not think this...
Remember when Larry Johnson ran for 2,000 yards?
Yes.
Okay, and who was the Big Ten Player of the Year? Brad Banks, the quarterback at Iowa. Okay. Okay. Led the Big Ten in passing, Kevin. Led it in passing. Where did Brad Banks end up throwing passes?
Well, but it was the Big Ten in passing. That's, I mean, Big Ten is not known as the deep passing league.
Well, it may not be the deep passing league, but I have noticed that the Super Bowl winning quarterback who faced the other Super Bowl quarterback were both from the Big Ten.
I do give you that, yes.
Okay,
I cannot deny that fact. Yes, cannot deny that fact.
All right.
Thank you for finding that little tidbit for me.
Well, it's not a little tidbit. We're just sitting here having conversation.
I'm just laughing because you're right.
But I'm just saying, but those stats don't mean anything. The guy that leads the nation in receiving is not the best receiver in the nation unless you sit there and go through, okay, the Eagles got a terrific pick. Aguilar is a terrific pick. That's Jeremy Maclin in a younger body. Fabulous player out of USC. He's going to, I mean, he fit. You put him opposite Jordan Matthews, now you got something to work with. They didn't make the big trade, but in the end, I think their first-round pick made them better. Now, do I think Dupree makes the Steelers better? Yes, I think he makes them better. Do I think he's a starter? No. At least initially. And when you have needs on defense, and your first-round pick may not be a starter, but maybe a situational guy or somebody you have to wean in there, that's not a winner of a pick to me.
Have you looked at the Steelers, like, right now at outside linebacker, for instance? There's not much.
Well, I'm saying
not much there.
Yeah, but he may not start.
That's really bad. If he doesn't start with the weak crew that the Steelers have defensively right now, Then I may have to concede come August that this was not the right pick.
Now, I'm hoping that the Roe kid from Utah is available when they pick. If they do, I think that really then kind of changes how I feel about where they are. But I strongly feel the Steelers pigeonholed themselves so much by the lack of activity of addressing needs in free agency. See, I'll give you an example.
No, I agree with you there. We talked about this earlier. I'm 100% behind you there.
Indianapolis went for age. But they're obviously, Indianapolis, it has this let's go for it now mentality. They obviously have one of the six or seven elite quarterbacks in the game. They picked up Frank Gore, long in the tooth but can still run. They picked up Andre Johnson, long in the tooth but can still make plays. And they picked up Trent Cole, who can give them some situational pass rush. That allowed them to go out and get the Dorsett kid from Miami who can fly down the field. Now, we'll find out if getting three 32-year-old free agents that give you that, you know, I'm going to rent you for a year feeling.
You're going to be a glorified coach player.
Yeah, but they're expecting him to play. They're saying, look, they're expecting Gore to go out there and be a 1,000-yard rusher for them. I mean, that's what they're expecting. They're expecting an experienced, I know how to run kind of guy. They're expecting a guy like Johnson. Let's face it, the Colts are expecting Johnson to go out and catch 60 to 80 balls for them this year. He just won't do it the same way he did 6-7 years ago, where he's stretching the field a bit. They're hoping Cole goes out and gives them 6 to 10 sacks. But it freed them up then to do whatever they really darn well felt like it in the draft. The Steelers didn't have that. Now, as much as we can complain about how Polamalu lost maybe one or two steps and Ike Taylor's hands aren't great, you still lost 50% of your starting secondary. And so far, you've replaced it with what?
Well, I agree with you 100% in the fact that they have caused themselves a problem and had three, possibly four guys that were first-round picks, all of which, by the way, went in the first round, with the exception of Jones, who probably would have gone a little bit higher if he had been from somewhere other than Connecticut. I'm not taking a jab at Connecticut. I'm just saying that probably, and the shoulder injury probably didn't get him the looks that he normally would have gotten.
Dupree. They weren't going to take the Missouri kid after what happened Monday morning.
No.
And they weren't going to take Randy Gregory. So this best athlete available stuff that you hear at the spot. But the other guys had baggage, and they went with the guy without baggage. Something I do understand. I do understand that. I give them a C+ on the pick.
Wow.
You and Sean Carey give them A and A-.
Yeah, I went with A, yes.
Yes, and Carey probably goes with A- because he's a little more fair-minded and not totally wrapped up in it like you are.
That's debatable. That's debatable.
Okay, coming up on today's show, we will have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Dave Bryan, SteelersDepot.com, and from Churchill Downs, where they're running the Kentucky Oaks today, we will have Dick Girardi on tomorrow's Kentucky Derby. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. On a weekend, we have Spurs and Clippers Game 7, the Kentucky Derby, and you have Pacquiao Mayweather. You need to stock up. There's only one place to do that. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Okay, next half hour, we're going to have Dave Bryan, SteelerDepot.com, to talk about the Steelers pick, among others, and where they might go in rounds 2 and 3 tonight. Then at 4:06, Dick Girardi from Churchill Downs on the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. And finally, in the final half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
He's the sack machine from the SEC.
Kevin also enjoys mopeds.
I used to. What's your point?
Oh, I don't know.
You realize if this guy gets a sack and he starts, let alone gets a sack, I will never let you hear the end of this, because this will be the only time in the over decade that you and I have known each other where I actually would have been right.
Well, he'll get a sack.
But if he starts even, I will never let you forget it.
Well, a lot of it's going to depend on during the course of the preseason whether guys get hurt.
Again, you've seen the Steelers' depth chart at linebacker and on the offensive line, right? At defensive end.
Agreed. I agree.
I mean, right now, I think the Steelers are going to look at you as an outside linebacker pretty soon. My kid's got a shot at playing linebacker.
And the show is warped from the ridiculous to the sublime.
I'm not sure it was that far away in the first place.
Well, yeah, we're getting closer by the hour.
Let's just say the Steelers' depth chart at linebacker is not what I would use the term deep, okay?
Thin. It's a bit thin. It's thin. All right.
As a matter of fact, right now you go to their website, they don't even have a depth chart up. It's all blank.
No, yeah, that's not good. All right. Let's bring in Dave Bryan, SteelersDepot.com, to give us his wit and wisdom as to what we witnessed in the NFL draft last night. Hi, Dave.
Guys, happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you. And Dave, they picked Bud Dupree last night. I felt they got stuck because I think the corners they wanted then all went. In the end, how well did they do?
Well, I think they got a player that dropped a little bit further than most expected them to. I think you look at a lot of the pre-draft rankings ahead of the draft. A lot of people had Bud Dupree coming off the board in the first 20 picks. I suppose there were, with any player in that area, around 15 or so, they could certainly, we've seen in the past players drop. But once those initial, kind of edge rushers went, and then you started to see the top three cornerbacks come off the board, you started to get the feeling at around pick 17 or 18 because of who was ahead of the Steelers at that point. That Bud may have made it all the way through to him, and that's exactly what happened. This is a kid, 6'4", 269 pounds. Man, when you look at him on film, he doesn't look 269 pounds.
Right.
He gained 40 pounds, during his career at Kentucky. Originally, scouted by them to play tight end in early on in his career, and just kept growing and growing. And putting on muscle mass. So this is a kid that's still kind of developing here. Had a great combine. I mean, he jumped out of the building there too, not only with his vertical and his broad jump, 4.47 20-yard shuttle, a good what they call the triangle numbers on top of it. Supposedly is a workout warrior. I think he benches 400 is what I read on that. You look at it, and everybody going to ask, going, that's great. Those stats are great. Tell me what this kid is on film. He's going to need some work at the NFL level. He's not going to be a guy that's going to come in and start right away. At least I'm not expecting him to. I think he'll be lucky, barring injury, maybe to see the field about 200, 250 snaps right around there on the defensive side of the football. Mike Tomlin says he's going to be on the left side, which is normally the strong side of the defense, and that's good because that's the spot Jason Worlds, played for them, so they've been definitely needing a future guy there that will allow Jarvis Jones to remain on the right side. It seems he has a great get off. One of the things I think that you'll see on film is he times the snap of the football good, and oftentimes is beating a tackle out of his stance there. Not even though he had 20 plus sacks at Kentucky. You would like to have seen those numbers be a little bit higher, in my opinion. But as Alex Kazor, who does writing for me on Steelers Depot, went back and did a quick four-game look last night, went through the tape real quick, and logged how many times Bud Dupree dropped. And in those four games, he dropped into coverage roughly about 25% of the time. So he's got experience doing that. He has experience standing up. That's also good because normally they're drafting these undersized defensive ends that play with their hand in the dart. And you know, there's a transition period with learning to stand up. And he's done that. He's dropped into coverage. He's played on that strong side. As long as he keeps those hands of his working, and he's got some good hands. You just got to keep him going, keep him moving all the time. Need to work at some more counters and work at not letting himself get stuck on blocks at times. But I think they got a prospect here. And when you look at it overall, Steve, you're your best player available on the board, in my opinion. And I know some fans are probably upset that they didn't go cornerback with Byron Jones out of Connecticut. But I think this is something that fell into their lap and they didn't expect to happen.
I think that the Jones pick for the Cowboys was a little easier for the Cowboys to make because of the relationship they have with Paul Pasqualoni, who recruited him and was his original coach at UConn. I think that made that easier for them to make the pick because I think they had a better understanding of him.
You know, the thing, too, with Byron Jones is the Steelers, you know, I think they had somebody at that UConn Pro Day, but on that same day, I believe, was the Florida State Pro Day. And Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin and I think Parnell Lake. I mean, they had a slew of people in Tallahassee for that Pro Day, but, you know, nobody of significance really at the Connecticut Pro Day. They didn't bring Jones in for a pre-draft visit. Not that that was necessary because the kid's got a great character, talking about Byron Jones.
Yeah.
Now, he was coming off of the shoulder issue last year, missed the second half of that season and all, and he did blow it out in the combine. But you have to kind of – the thing with Jones that makes it so tough is there wasn't a lot of tape to look at him.
Right.
I've looked all over. I'm normally good at being able to find some. Didn't find a lot of what I did see I liked. But is this guy just a measurables guy, you know – that didn't play against top competition, you know, at the college level there. So that's why I think the Steelers, you know, kind of let him bypass there and you know, of course, took the best player available in Dupree, which, it just so happens to meet a need as well.
Right, does meet a need. If I had to pick a negative, Dave, about Dupree, it's that I felt whenever I watched Kentucky play that he had a tendency to take some plays off.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed a few of those as well too. Look, Joey Porter's not going to put up with that. So
no,
and James Harrison won't either. He does have to, but you know, I think that might have been you know, in spots in games. Okay, and you hate to see it. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, I've seen this guy chase down some people from the backside as well too. So I mean, he's got some good speed there. I didn't see a lot of what you're referring to, but I, you know, I'm not going to lie to you and say I didn't see any of it at all.
All right. Safety would be another spot they could pick up somebody. You watched, obviously, enough tape. Why not Collins of Alabama in that spot?
You know, he's an in-the-box guy that you know, look, I think he could play some free safety at the NFL level, some in a pinch. But, I mean, I think he's a strong safety. And when you look at the Steelers and you look at Shamarco Thomas, it's Shamarco Thomas time now in Pittsburgh now that Troy Polamalu is out of there. That's a guy that's going to be in the box. So, you know, Collins, look, Randall, the kid out of Arizona State, ended up being the first safety off the board.
Right.
And if you go back to my very first mock draft at the Senior Bowl, I had the Steelers taking Randall in the seventh round of my mock draft, you know, because nobody knew about Randall. It just goes to show you those early rankings, Steve. You better ignore where players are because it takes, you know, the rest of us, the bloggers and the media, time to catch up what the scouts have known for several months ahead of us. And that's exactly what happened to Demarius Randall. Once the rest of us saw the film, we said, oh, man, this guy is really good. That's why I thought he was a gift. In my first mock draft at round 7, the guy ends up being the first safety off the board there. So I understand them bypassing Collins, you know, as well too. And let's face it, Alabama doesn't have a good run of safeties in the NFL,
No, they don't. They actually don't, and that's a very good point. Now tonight, 2-3, you can really improve your football team with how you pick tonight. So let's give me a little roadmap as to potential directions they need to think about based on what's available on the board.
Well, you know, the good thing is you've had some players slip into the board that they are into the second round, and they're not going to be drafting. That's going to eat up some spots. I mean, you'd have to think that Randy Gregory is going to have to come off the board here pretty soon, one would think. You got a couple of tackles, Jake Fisher, even Penn State's Donovan Smith still hanging around out there. I would expect him to go in the first, you know, what, let's say 15 or so picks. And if not, if he's on the board comes Steelers selection, that might be a tough kid to bypass there. You still got Eli here. Now, the Steelers aren't going to go – I don't think they're going to go edge rusher back-to-back rounds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're going to have kids like Eli Harrell probably come off in this round. The kid out of UCLA, Odigizuwa, is going to come off there. Danielle Hunter out of LSU. You got the kid out of Georgia, the wide receiver, Chris Conley. None of those guys I expect the Steelers to draft. So, you know, I think if I'm a Steelers fan right now, what I'm hoping for is Eric Rowe out of Utah for that kid to drop right into the Steelers' lap. This is a guy you want to talk about position flexibility, Steve.
Yep.
This kid played corner, boundary corner. He played free safety, and he played some strong safety at Utah. And boy, he blew it out at the combine. The Steelers brought him in for a pre-draft visit. You listen to this guy give interviews, you can't help but love him. He has Steelers written all over him. So that's the guy I think that you hope drops. And if he doesn't, you know, you're probably looking at maybe one of these wide receivers. Maybe falling into their lap like Sammy Coates, you know, and on. Who knows? PJ, this is a round that they like to take chances on, too, as far as character. You got Jalen Collins from LSU out there, and PJ Williams out of Florida State as well, too. But I think we're going to hear a defensive back name in one of these two rounds, Steve.
Okay, as you go all the way to 7, would it be your guess that all but maybe one will be defensive players?
I think it's going to be more offensive players than that, to be honest with you.
Really? Really?
Yeah. If they keep all 8 of their draft picks, I can see this being 5-3.
Okay.
Five defense and 3, because I think they're going to, I think they might address the guard position. And don't be surprised if they do that. If they get a cornerback in round 2, look for Trey Jackson out of Florida State, you know, the guard there in maybe round 3, because they were at that Florida State pro day looking at somebody, and Ramon Foster's entering the final year of his contract, and behind him, they really don't have depth. So Trey Jackson could be, you know, on their radar. I expect him to go there. A late-round tight end as well, too, and then kind of a wild card maybe as far as a third offensive position goes. Maybe a running back, the Jones kid out of Florida, kind of in the later rounds as well.
I wonder if they're looking at Cam. I'm wondering, just you and me just talking here about this, I wonder if one of the guys who were looking at was Cameron Irving in the second round, and it turned out the Browns took him.
It's possible, you know, because, I mean, look, one of the top interior. And look, I think Cameron Irving, too, might be a better center, isn't he?
Yeah, well, that's what he played. That's what he played. But, you know, it's one thing you and I both know. You've got to have some sort – in this league, what do they travel, 7 linemen? They have to 7 – linemen, essentially,
yeah, they
in the offensive
line. The Steelers only dress 7 on game day.
Yeah, they dress 7 on game day. You've got to have guys that have some versatility in there. And you talked about Trey Jackson. Jackson probably could play either tackle or guard.
Yeah, he could. I think he right now, he's a right guard with Florida State, and that's the problem, too. You got David DeCastro as a right guard. So if they did somehow wind up drafting Trey out of Florida State, then I think you could see a situation where David DeCastro would flip over to left guard. Another guy did that early on in his career. Remember him, Alan Faneca?
Yep. Heard of him. Heard of him.
I think David DeCastro could love – could you imagine – because, you know, Trey is a road grader on the right side. And could you imagine having DeCastro on that left side and running the power back over to the right with DeCastro the way he likes to pull?
Right.
I think that would be a good setup down the road there. I'm not throwing a Ramon Foster out, you know, out with the bathwater, but he is, you know, up there in age now. He is entering the final year of his contract. And I think they need to start thinking about, a future left guard there at some point. So I expect them to address. And I hope it's a position flexible guy, just like you said, someone that can maybe play guard and then also play tackle as well in a pinch.
Yeah, it's one of the things. When the Giants drafted Pugh out of Syracuse, that's what they liked about him, that he could actually play 4 of the 5 positions on the offensive line. And I think that then allowed them to draft Flowers last night because now they know where Pugh fits. Hey, Dave, always a pleasure. It's one thing to sit there and discuss something and throw in analytics about a certain situation. It's another thing to talk about somebody who's actually looking at a lot of tape. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
You know what they say, men and women lie. The tape doesn't lie, Steve.
it does not, Dave. Thanks so much. Yeah. Well, another ringing endorsement for your pick.
Here's the only problem in round two. I like the kid from Utah as well, but I think so do the Eagles, and the Eagles pick 52.
No, I'm sure they do. So far, the Eagles have had a better draft.
By the way, that leaves Jalen Collins from LSU.
But, okay, just very quickly, the difference with the Eagles pick and the Steelers pick is as follows. They're, to me, the two toughest areas to pick are corner and tackle. There are a lot of tackles, but I'm talking about, like, you know, the Jonathan Ogden, the great ones, you know, that you build around. As much as we make fun of the Browns, they have one of the preeminent left tackles in Joe Thomas. They just haven't been able to take advantage of him. And I think at this level, because of the footwork needed in combination with the leverage, arm length, and so forth, tackle's tough in this league. Selecting a corner is really tough in this league. Really tough. That's why Darrell Revis has been in so much demand as time has gone along, because he's an absolute shutdown corner. That's why Richard Sherman is absolutely invaluable, because there aren't many guys that play at that level on that island where any kind of contact is incredibly scrutinized. It's a little bit different today compared to the Mel Blount days. Mel Blount could get physical with you up and down the field and you couldn't breathe. So the Steelers were trying to pick in the opening round one of the toughest positions to pick. There were two really, really good ones I thought out there, Trey Waynes and Robinson from Wake Forest. I was not as high on Peters and not as high on Jones. So I'd say you had two A's and a couple of B's out there, or maybe one of them's a C+. And because it is, I think, the single toughest position to pick in the draft, and you're picking 22nd, the combination wasn't a good one. And I found Dave's, he's a good pick, wasn't a ringing endorsement.
It didn't sound confident now.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Yeah, league is designed, the NFL, to try and keep teams that are at the top and bring them back to the pack a bit, and teams that are at the bottom a chance to rise up. Now, how do they do that? Well, they do that through A, scheduling, which we've already talked about extensively for a couple of weeks now, that if you finish first like the Steelers, you must play four other first-place teams, which is 25% of your schedule from the previous year. If you're a last-place team, you face four other last-place teams. Okay? And that's how they design the schedule, where one quarter of your schedule matches up with the where people were placed the year before. The other part's the draft, which if you're a Cleveland Browns fan and you have multiple picks every year and you keep doing what they do, you want to turn in your season tickets.
By the way, did you hear Chip Kelly this morning? He was talking about, you know, trading for that first or second pick. He said it's kind of like driving into a nice neighborhood and looking at a house and saying, that was really nice. Then they tell you the price, you turn around and drive away.
Right. What happened was with the Rams and the Redskins, that really set the bar at a level that now anybody in that position, that's what they're asking for, what the Rams did. The Eagles did the right thing. They did not move up. They were smart. I think they made a really good pick. I think they picked a Jeremy Maclin that's going to be with them for the next 7 to 10 years.